Good afternoon, everyone, and in some cases, good morning. We'd like you to welcome you to today's webinar, which is the topic of how to build a business case for global payroll, which we all know is a really important piece of work for payroll teams. So it's great to have the opportunity to cover this subject today. So today's webinar will be led by Mary Holland, who is the payroll evangelist here at Payslip. And we'd also like to welcome our guest speaker today, which is Michelle Virkin, who is Global Payroll Strategy Consultant with Payroll Minds. So just before we get started, I have some housekeeping points. So just to note that the webinar is being recorded and it will be available to everyone after the event. All of our webinars are available on demand and you can find them on our website and our Payslip YouTube channel. We also have all webinars available as podcasts, so you can find them on Spotify or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. So every attendee will also receive an email with the link to that recording, and we'll also share the slides with you after the webinar, because there's some really good important detail on today's slides. So we do have quite a lot of people on here today, so everyone will be muted. If you do have a question or comments, please post them in the chat or the Q&A section. I'll monitor these as we go along, and we have allocated some space at the end of the session for Q&A, so we can address all those questions then at the end. So just before we get started, I'll hand the floor over to Mary and Michelle, who would like to give us some background on Payroll Minds and Payslip. So Mary, do you want to go ahead?
Yes, Eva, but the slide deck isn't showing right now.
Yeah, one moment, I'll do that.
Okay. There we go. It looks like it's coming up. Perfect. Just the next slide would be perfect. Okay. So welcome everyone to our webinar today, wherever you are coming from the world, morning, evening, or afternoon. We're happy to have you today. As Aoife already mentioned, I'm the Global Payroll Evangelist for Payslip. I work closely with the marketing, sales, product, and the implementation team on looking at the best solution for our clients and providing insight and knowledge on global payroll management and transformation. As most if people are aware, I was a global owner and also have worked extensively in consulting and education prior to joining Payslip 5 years ago. I'm honored to be doing the webinar with Michelle today. Just as a brief note, Payslip is a global payroll technology platform. We work with our clients, have the option to choose whatever payroll provider they want to work with. We have a robust workflow structure that's in the platform. We also have the ability for global reporting and insight and visibility to your steps and workflows that are there. And so we have the tools to be able to provide you the insights to manage your global payroll operations across the globe. So, Michelle, I'm going to turn it over to you to give a little insight to your background. And really, Payroll Minds is one of our partners that work with Payslip. So if you need insight into the future, of course, Michelle and his team will be happy to provide insight as they work across the world, working on helping organizations do payroll transformations and select the best solution for their particular organization. So, Michelle, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mary. Sound is good? Just
perfect.
Yep. All right. A good day from my side as well. I'm on the European side, Central European side. So for me, it's afternoon. I see that we have to say good morning, good afternoon, and even good evening. So my name is Michelle Verreken. I'm working from, based out of Belgium. I've been in the last 23 years, something like that, on the payroll side, HR technology side. Mostly on the vendor side, less on the client side, and that has changed over the course of the last years. I'll be representing presenting the business case materials or the concept on a business case for payroll. And I will be representing Payroll Minds today. Payroll Minds, as the name, it's a dead giveaway, of course. We at least know that effective payroll operations are essential for driving business growth or international business growth. We know that most of the people, or if not all of the people on this call, know that. Unfortunately, sometimes it is not the case at the XCOM level or at board level. So what we at Payroll Minds try to do is we help identify and prioritize the needs and make them or develop them into actionable formats and implement them along the way. So the goal for Payroll Minds is always to improve the process, optimize technology, and align the workforce in order to turn payroll into an efficient, reliable, and scalable operation. And one of those aspects that we will be touching on today is the deep dive into, well, let's say the top level secrets of how to build a business case. And with that, I'll give the word back to Mary, who will jump right into the essence of today.
Thank you, Michelle. So for today's agenda, we're going to talk about looking at defining your current strategy, what you have ideas and future state, and why you're moving to that future state, thinking about why you're making some changes so that you understand that as a payroll team or HR team or the team, the transformation team, because you're going to need that for the business case, of course, and also to be able to explain it to senior management so they understand the business need and the request for the funding and direction. We'll talk about our stakeholders. So in payroll, we're not in a silo. We have stakeholders and change makers that make it possible for us, along with the importance of communicating the benefits, the return on investment for the business case that we're working on, and so that everybody on the team is aware in the organization and the direction of why the company is moving there is makes the a strategic move possible. It also makes it successful, and it makes sure that everybody is understanding what's happening. And then, of course, we'll talk about the consequences if you decide to do nothing. And that's always something that happens a little bit, or it gets postponed in organizations. So let's move forward. So when we look at payroll strategy, we talked about looking at what you're trying to achieve. And in most cases, organizations around the world today are looking for automation. We want to make sure that we're using the tools that we have in HR and doing the integration and automation so that everything is done from the pre-payroll to the post-payroll. And we have automation steps that are doing the checking, the validation, keeping us on track, letting us know when something is late and not happening per the schedule or the workflow that we have created. And then the data is extremely important. So having the automated validations, doing the reconciliations of the data coming, comparing your inputs to the outputs are items that are strategically important as we look at global payroll as we move forward. Many of you may have 30 to 50 countries. We need to make sure we have automated data validation so that we know exactly what's going on with the data. Is the inputs that we prepared and provided over to our providers that are doing the payroll calculations, are they returning the same number of employees? Is the information for the gross salary and bonuses correct? So that those validation checks can be done through automation, and you're just going to get an automated report to look at and to start to review the results. And then, of course, the finance is key. Finance is always key in the organization. The GL is probably the number one item that we have. And depending on what that you hear about is depending on how your organization is set up, who's doing that general ledger. It's important to look at it. Is it coming from the source? Is it coming directly from the source of information? So it's created directly from the reporting pieces that you have from the gross to net. So there's no manipulation. And can we automatically get that over to our finance team so nobody is touching that file? which there's two reasons for that. It saves time and resources, but it also reduces risk and the opportunity for errors that are happening on that. The second one, when we look in payroll processing globally, is really how are we going to get that bank file created? Who's doing that bank file? What's that integration with the Treasury Department? Whoever you're using for Treasury and funding, are you using third parties or are you doing it inside the company? It's a huge piece and it's really the last mile. You can't have a perfect payroll without having the employees paid timely and the compliance piece there. So really that's a key strategy to think about in the banking and Treasury function as you look at the goals you're trying to achieve. And visibility is extremely important. As we move forward, we already talked about having 30 countries. Do you have a global payroll technology platform? Payslip is one of the platforms that are available, but you have visibility at any moment of time to find out what's happening with your payroll in Brazil or what's happening with your payroll over in Belgium. Making sure that you're aware of what's actually happening. Are the deadlines being met on time? Are the delivery and the treasury functions, the GL, all of those items being done so that you're making sure that you have your payroll done completely and on time? And of course, we can measure that to set up SLAs with our teams internally and also external partners so that we're making sure that we're using our time wisely and the provider's time wisely, and we're working together to be efficient to get all of the validations, automation, and efficiencies that we need from payroll. And when we look at our strategy, we have to make sure it's scalable for our growth. What's happening in your organization? Are you expanding? Are you a company that is acquiring companies? Many of us work for companies that we're acquiring companies all the time. So what does that look like when we're looking at a global solution and our business plan for that? We need to make sure that it's scalable. We also have to make sure that, however, when we look at scalability, sometimes we're doing downsizing or restructuring. Is the solution that we're trying to achieve on our strategy, what does that look like in our organization? So thinking about what that looks like, who's involved in those organizations? Are they part of the team to communicate that we might have some growth in different areas? You need to be able to get that information from the finance and the strategic leaders so that you too can be able to plan and make sure that the solution that you're choosing is going to be achievable and it's going to work for your organization. Remember, it has to work for your organization. Each one of you have an organization that has corporate culture. What works well in that corporate culture? You are the one that have the insight to that, and how readiness are they for change in their organization is something to consider. And lastly, we always want to look at efficiency. So having our information digitized, being at our fingertips, being able at any moment of time to have that visibility, have the reporting, have the operations, and have everything, the reconciliations at your fingertips is extremely important. For me, having the digitization of the processes, having the ability to look at what happened in January if I get asked a question from an auditor or an employee that I need to look back, and I can go back directly into that payroll in January, look at the notes, see what's happened with that reconciliation, and it continues to help the efficiency of the organization. So I always like to look at the payroll efficiency and putting all of the pieces together so that you are always audit ready for any situation that might happen in your organization as you're moving forward, because that's a key position or key function that payroll has to be, making sure that the company is supported with good documentation. So one of the things that you, as you're looking out at making a change or a business transformation and doing the business case, we really have to be looking at we had some goals and objectives. Have we defined our goals and objectives as a group? So looking at the excellence of using technology and integration. So I think best practices around the world will tell you that we want to take the information from source. So we want to get the information from source and move it directly to the payroll provider that needs to do the processing, making sure that we're using technology and integration, looking at efficiencies and the vendor management and managing our vendors. It's really important to manage our vendors around the world, making sure that we both understand the expectations, what your expectations are of them and what their expectations are of you, so that we're working together. They are an extension of your team. So making sure you're looking that as you're going out to build a business case and doing a transformation. Cost always comes into picture, right? So we look at cost reduction. Sometimes I want to look at it as being cost efficient, right? I'm not going to not tell you that global payroll is expensive operation. It is, but how are we going to manage the costs that we have in our organization to be efficient? And then looking at manual work, no one around the world wants to do manual work. The world has changed with the technology and the information we have at our fingertips for everything we do in our work and our outside life. So looking at what that manual work is, what can be automated, why are we doing that, right? As we're looking at our business case and looking for a solution, what are those items on manual work that we need to make sure that we're making sure we're including those as a solution by looking at using integration, technology, savings, looking at all of those pieces, because that's a key piece. And it's also a risk, right? Somebody has to be checking the checker when you're doing manual work, and it's not efficient. And making sure we think about our employees. Our employees in our organization are our customers. Making sure that we have an experience for them. So when they need to see their pay slip, or they need a tax form, or they update their banking information, we thought about having a unified employee experience. In many organizations around the world, they're using their HR system. So could it be Workday, Oracle, SAP, and that information is being done in those HR HCM systems. And then the information is fed over to the payroll for the payroll processing. But then the results, meaning the pay slips and the tax forms, are brought back into the HCM. So you have one single experience. So it doesn't matter if I'm in Ireland or I'm in Japan, I can go out to the HCM, and when it's my information, I'm going to see my information for my pay slip from Japan in Japanese language, and it's pertinent. So everybody has that experience. So thinking about that in your organization as you're building that out. And then I can't stress the importance of how can we ever manage or look at what the future is going to look like unless we have global reporting and we're able to share that information out to our stakeholders across the globe, and the people that have to look at that, the senior leaders that have to make decisions on where to hire people, where to open businesses. We have to look at the analytics of the cost of the employment cost in a particular country where we hire, the visibility of what's actually happening, and what's the true cost of payroll. So when we look at our stakeholders, of course, we have our payroll team. So our payroll team can sit in HR, be part of the HR team, but we need to make sure that we identify who those stakeholders are around in our organizations. And they should be part of our team as we're working out through our business case, because we need feedback from all the teams. So making sure we have the payroll team recognized and looking at how you're structured, and pulling the people that have that information that's going to be pertinent to building the business case. Of course, our HR team, because our HR team is working and has insight, and they're a key link to us. They're the key link to payroll being successful and making sure that happens. But of course, then at the senior level, we need to look at the CFO, the finance teams. What are those senior leaders looking for? And we need to identify who those stakeholders are. And what are some of the strategic goals that they want to solve with a payroll or business transformation? And what are they looking for in your organization? And of course, then our IT friends, from the CTO to the CIO to the IT teams, all of them are essential, because as we build out operations, we need to make sure that we have the structure and the integrations in place, and they provide insight for us. And they also provide insight to the business case because they've done business cases and they can support the documentation that needs to be done. And so with those stakeholders, I think it's important to just kind of think about that we need to meet all the stakeholders need to meet their expectations, right? They have expectations, and we're all trying to align cost and benefits and making sure our organization is efficient. And so that is why we as a group need to make sure that they're part of our team. Our stakeholders are part of our team. We need to all listen and work together. And so that brings things from vendor management to looking at the data privacy pieces that we need to look at. The standardization of processes is key in any of the organizations because we're trying to standardize the processes to make it easier for all operations to move forward. And we all know what it looks like. We're looking at, when we look at standardization, there's some things that a country has unique pieces that we know we can't standardize, but we've identified and documented that. And we're working together with the stakeholders to drive efficiencies in the organization and being able to make sure our senior leaders have the reporting, the forecasting, the ability in global reporting to know what's actually happening, right? We can tell the story of what's happening in global payroll. What's happening? Our stakeholders are aware of what's happening. And then we understand the time and the cost savings that are involved. So we're working together as we look and design our business case. So typically, this is a list of components that might be in a business case. So the first thing I always let you know is check with your organization. So sometimes the best person, if you're unsure, you're new to the organization, might be someone in procurement that you can talk to that will tell you what the components of a business case are. Or someone in finance might give you what's particularly needed for your organization. So I've worked with different organizations. I've had many business cases where you're not including all of these items. And then there's more detailed. So depending on what your organization needs, you need to make sure that you plan for that and work with the stakeholders to get that pulled together. One of the key things that I will say is for sure, define a executive summary and recommendation. So get that clear and crisp to be able to provide to senior management, and making sure if you're doing a presentation on that, you only have one or two slides. We need to make sure we're engaging with them immediately, and we're thinking about the time that they have available to talk to us about business cases and transformation, because there's many things going on in their roles and responsibilities. And then the other one that I would say is really think about, so that everybody is on board, is what's in scope and what's out of scope, because often I've seen the project start and then everybody else thought something else was in scope, and trying to bring those in. So clearly defining the scope and making sure the team is aware of that is important. They're all important, but depending on what your organization needs, you'll be designing that business case for what's actually out there. And go to the next slide, Aoife. So when we look at part of the business case, and a big piece that we have to think about is the change management and communication. So thinking about what's going on in your organization, has there been a lot of change or there's limited changes? And we know as individuals, how much we like change in our life and how much your team likes change. So really it's important to manage it. And I will say sometimes projects fail because they haven't thought about the change impact or communicating that out. So it's important to communicate out the clear vision and the objectives of why the organization is moving in that, making sure the message is transparent. We engage stakeholders. It's always great if senior management can communicate out what's happening in change management and they're part of a team. You might have a dedicated structure in your organization that talks about change management. And then of course we have to provide the information and support and training, listening to what's actually happening as we look through the project, and making sure we're planning for this so that we have the ability to make sure we're meeting the needs of change and communication. Communication is one of those things you can't over communicate. I'll tell you, no matter what project you go through, somebody's going to say, I wish I needed more communication or had more pieces of that. Okay, Eva, we can go to the next slide. So when you're looking through your payroll strategy and transportation management, it's kind of going through a kind of a cycle, looking at the very top of what our transformation is, looking at technology, the different strategies that are out there, looking at your strategy, right? So you have a strategy related, or think have a strategy related to vendor selection, who you want to work with, what does that look like in your organization? Looking at implementation and deployment, what does that look like? And how the payroll structure and technology can function through the ongoing management. So making sure that all of the pieces kind of, we drive it through the business. And that's why we need our stakeholders all working together so that we make sure as we go through this transformation, as we talked about communication and change, and we're preparing our business case, that we think about what that looks like for our organization and making sure we're planning for that with resources, time, and making sure we're pulling in the right talent and vendors that are going to support what we need from our organization. So we can go on. Okay. So when we're looking at our business case, one of the things as we talk to senior management and pull it together, we have to think of what is the value that we're bringing to the table when we make a business transformation or make a recommendation to make a change and ask for funding. We really are looking at making sure that we have execution excellence, reduced manual work. We're going to ensure that we have compliance. We're going to make sure we use integration, looking at time savings, what that looks like, the cost reduction, what have we been able to do or reduce cost, having the efficiency of a technology solution, are we able to grow our business without having to add additional headcount? Have we worked on standardizing our processes and functions so that we're able to look at the true value of what we're doing in our payroll operations? And can we add additional tasks to some of our teams that may be expanding and working on more global reporting and analytics because we've reduced the manual work? Reducing manual work, as we talked about, the risk, the experience of the employee experience is something that we're going to define in our value, along with the ability, global reporting, the analytics, the visibility, and having it real time. So it's important to have it real time. It doesn't work if a CFO asks us for a report on what have we paid out for bonuses for the last 6 months, and it takes us, you know, 2 or 3 days before we provide that information. Sure doesn't look like we're adding value from a payroll operations value to the organization. So we need to look at what that's going to do as we define value and we work through our transformation. And then when we look at return on investment is always big, right? So that's a big question. And sometimes everybody always gets kind of stopped in, you know, what are the hard cost savings that we're going to have in that return on investments? Is it going to be 6 months? Is it going to be a year? What does that look like? And we don't think about the other things that are extremely important too, that need to be communicated as we build out our business case. It's the productivity, looking at how we're using our team's productivity, how we're making sure we're efficient, we're compliant, we have good controls over our processes. And then revenue acceleration, are we able to hire, you know, looking at that, are we able to hire additional payroll people to look at the revenue recognition, or do we use people internally that's going to be looking at that? So looking at what the revenue piece is on this one, how we can use the best use of our teams today. And the other thing is, when we look at the best use of our teams, how can we make their jobs exciting and they're adding true value and they feel part of the team instead of just being what we consider manual checker or making sure the file got processed in that process. So the payroll teams are accelerating their role as you build out your business transformation. And how can we use the team members to support the strategic direction that our organization needs? And then, of course, when we look at risk, you know, data breaches, any of the PII information, it's all extremely important. And this is something that as an organization, and we build out and we talk about our business case and what we're doing for, we need to pull that in, because at the end of the day, if we have a data breach or people in the organization don't feel the company's compliant, they may leave the organization. But think about what that looks like if you have files that have been passed via email, have been sent to the wrong person. If you have to report a data breach in your organization in any country around the world, it is a very, very expensive endeavor, which takes time and resources. So really, when we look on investment, we're investing in all of these areas to be efficient. And of course, the finance piece is always the piece that sometimes we get the most questions on, but making sure that you're building these other components into your business case. And then some people will say, well, why do we need a business case? So really the business case kind of sets the structure and aligns all of the team members of what we're going to actually do and what we're solving for, right? It aligns the resources. We have a strategic direction that supports our organization. We're making sure that we have goals and objectives that we can achieve, right? So it's the team has the ability to understand where they fit into the process and that we can actually be efficient. And it provides a documentation and the roadmap for senior management to actually know what's happening. And looking at that, they're able to understand that payroll is a strategic player in the organization and that we've defined the cost, the resources, and the whole entire completion of the project with a clear communication and what the plan is. You know, we need a plan to be able to be successful. And without a clear business case of what we're doing, it's extremely hard to be able to make sure that everybody understands the goals that we're achieving. Remember, we're working with teams across the world, so we need to be able to make sure it's documented clear, and we're thinking about that as we use our communication, as we talked about. Can't over communicate what the project is and the business reason for the project to the team. And then I want to turn it over to Michelle now, because he has a real live case study of why bother with a business case. You know, I'm sure that some of us think about that when we have to do all that documentation. So Michelle, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yep. Thank you, Mary. All right, let's get right into it. This is called the Stockholm disaster. It's 30 seconds. It happened to me. Maybe it happened to some of you as well. A couple of years ago, 6-7 years ago, I was working on the vendor side, and there was a large global Scandinavian network provider. They were looking to basically move out all essential business services, either through shared services, outsourcing, or whatever. This was Americas, Europe, APAC. They had a very large team on the client side and an even larger team on the vendor side. And in essence, 15 months roughly between RFI and the RFP, the BAFO, and finally the contractual negotiations. 15 months passed, a tremendous amount of pre-sales effort on both sides. And in essence, in Stockholm, we were already having a party because everything was said and done. The contracts were final. And on the next day, we simply needed to walk into the room with a number of people of their board to sign the final documents. There were two of us on the vendor side still left, me, myself, and a colleague. We walked in, and about 3 minutes later, we walked out again. In essence, our counterpart says, look, we decided against it. We're not going to do it. This was basically 35 million, something around that TCV down the drain, and a tremendous amount of pre-sales effort left and right, client side and their side. And in essence, the project lost from simply an investment, another investment process somewhere along the line that was more in tune or more relevant for them. And the essence or the problem of that whole Stockholm disaster was that we had a business case, but it was very thin on the ground. And as you saw here, we simply definitely did not over-communicate. I would say that the communication was not the issue. So I want to walk you through a number of items that you will encounter when you go through your business case. So if you can go to the next slides, there are a couple of behavioral aspects that work against us. It has happened to me and I've seen it everywhere else. It's overestimation. That's very good on day one, basically overestimating the, let's say, the benefits of your new payroll system or the benefits of outsourcing your payroll or reorganizing your payroll. Good on day one, but very bad. It comes back to bite you on the implementation and the operation time. So first off, don't overestimate. Make sure you estimate correctly. And I would simply say, go rather to the conservative side and see whether your business case floats than try to overestimate it. It's what they call a bad, good idea overestimation. Then you have underweighing. Everywhere, the true cost of transactional HR definitely is simply underweighted. We will get back to that in a couple of slides. You simply are missing out on a number of cost components because you didn't look at it. And three is time constraints. You, most of you, don't do this every day. It's something you have to do over or during the course of normal operations. And you have to collect your data from basically everywhere, different stakeholders, different systems, different countries. It doesn't go as smooth as you would like it to go, and it is time consuming, and then it works against your normal operational load. So that's the behavioral aspects put aside. Think about that when you're doing your business case. We can go to the next slide. So what are the most common issues we encounter when looking at a business case? Well, first of all, on the next slide, measuring the true cost of any HR process. What is the problem of measuring HR processes? Well, the problem is that your accounting did not define HR process costs. They register how much an employee costs, what the value of an office building is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but not how much it really costs to run one payslip to hire a new employee, et cetera. So in order to measure the true cost of any HR process that you would need to build your business case around, be it a new applicant tracking system or a payroll system, be it outsourcing or insourcing, whatever you want, you need to define your costs, your direct, indirect, and direct process costs. The staff costs usually, the direct staff costs usually, that doesn't simply, that's very easy. Most people get that right. The only thing I would say, a heads up there, if you have to go in Europe, just be mindful of the fact that in a lot of European countries, you have a tremendous amount of benefits in kinds that simply, sometimes, in some cases, simply pass outside of control of payroll. They are net payments, and they're basically set up to reduce the burden of social contributions. So you might want to check on that. The problem comes down to the direct process costs, IT costs, vendor costs. Often they are underweighted, they are not correctly put into the Excel sheet. And that is because HR costs, payroll costs are mixed together with other IT costs, general IT costs. And a lot of IT departments simply don't take account or don't follow up on those individual costs. So that is something you have to take care of. And a top tip there would be to make sure that your data coverage period runs over 12 months. I say, try to find your historical costs over the last 15, 16, 17 months, divide them by 15, 16, 17, and multiply them by 12, and you will have a more accurate view on what it actually costs to run that HR process. Also, the actual vendor invoices, make sure you get them, you see them, you acknowledge them, because often the contract is not what is invoiced. There is always a lot of additional costs that creep in. And then you have that third element, that indirect staff costs. That's anything that has to do with the HR process cost, but is not related to the process in itself. It's facility, personal IT costs, and function costs.
Michelle, do you find sometimes clients, when you're working with them, think that they have a solution that the indirect costs will just go away? But in reality, there's still some partial or some expenses that are associated with them. What have you seen with working with clients on that one when they're looking at the indirect?
Yeah, indirect cost is definitely a point of debate. Facility cost is not going to go away if you upgrade your system. Facility cost is most likely not going to go away, maybe reduced if you outsource your payroll department or as part of your HR process. But on the other hand, if you don't take it into account, you can't have the open debate internally about whether or not to include them in your business case. So what I always say is try to find them out, try to find those costs. And if you can't find them, use regional averages on SG&A costs, they will help you out. And then you can still decide to ignore them come business time or come final calculation time. But it's definitely a point of debate. But if you don't measure them, you can't ignore them because you simply don't know what you're ignoring further down the road. So that would be my suggestion on indirect staff costs.
Right. Thank you, Michelle. That's a great point. Can't ignore it, just make sure you get it and then make the decision where you put it.
Yes. So let's go to the next slide. So once you have defined your HR process cost, you need to define your workforce population and derive HRFD from that aspect. It's very simple. There is always more staff involved. We maintain a six block workforce population, of which only 1, 2, and 3 are relevant. 4, 5, and 6 simply fall out, but you simply need to find not only the fully dedicated people to HR processes or process that you would like to rework, review, or make your business case on. You also need to find out the ones that are partially dedicated and the ones that are outside of the HR budget, because oftentimes these people do something for the process. They're not on the HR process, on the HR budget, but they actually carry a cost with them and they are actually relevant to the process, HR process, payroll, whatever it is that you're trying to rework, that you're trying to build a business case on. This is also a good time to indicate level 4. These are typically the line managers, and that's always a big point of debate. Do you include or don't you include, do you exclude the line managers? I always exclude them. Line management have to intervene in the HR process, and sometimes it can be tedious work, sometimes it can be a 2-second work, pushing a button, whatever it is, I always like to exclude them, because the point I want to make here is that line managers, it's part of their day-to-day job. And yes, it can be tremendously annoying if the systems require you to do that 25 times and reintroduce data 26 times, but let's be honest, it's part of their job. I would exclude them from the business case. Important, however, is to make sure that when once you found the partially and fully dedicated people to HR, either on the HR budget or not on the HR budget, that you make sure that you distinguish between contractual working time and process working time. You have your contractual working time, you are a part-time, you work 50%, you work 80%, etc. And then there is that second part. There is a formula. I wouldn't bother, wouldn't try or dream to bother you with that during this presentation. But you have to make sure that you define exactly how much process time somebody works on a certain process, how much percentage of their time, and link that to their contractual working time. So somebody that works 50% on a process that is 100% dedicated or 100% contractual working time works 50% or is in the business case for 50%. That is not the case for somebody that works 80% but works 50% on the process time. The true amount of HR FTE that comes out is lower, and so the multiplication with their salary cost will also be lower. So that is something to be mindful of. So that is basically the two types that I've seen everywhere, right? The behavioral aspects, the fact that the HR process costs are not greatly designed and traced within a company, and the errors that are made in the workforce population. Basically, you miss people, you misrepresent the number of FTEs, and at the end of the day, somebody that stands up, is awake, he will basically, he or she will shoot you down for it and will ask you annoying questions. So don't overestimate, make sure you get your upfront conditions, numbers correct, and don't forget these important elements that everybody tries to or seems to forget or overlooks. Coming back to that, next slide, Eva. There are a lot of hidden costs. And those hidden costs, they can also, they are interesting to include in your business case because they are sometimes high. The cost of doing nothing is one of those. Cost of doing nothing, it's very easy to have an old car in your garage and continue to run it for the rest of your life. Unfortunately, it breaks down, it requires more maintenance, and sometimes it's simply uneconomical to fix anymore. It's the same with software. You might think it's a good idea to push it out another 3 to 5 years, but at a certain point in time, you will have to replace it. And by that time, the basically people that can support the system have gone or have increased in costs because there are few of them around. Currency and inflation is another of those issues. And I'm Belgian. We have a very specific situation in a couple of European countries. We have an inflation or an indexation clause in most of our labor contracts that is very positive for employees and very negative for employers. Basically, our salaries follow the cost of inflation almost to the letter. That means that if you made your business case last year and you come back this year, you will simply find a 3 to 5% increase in salary costs all of a sudden without doing anything, without hiring extra people or basically without giving them a salary raise other than the indexation approach. You have to make sure that you capture that and that you are aware of that problem. So if you look at 2022 to 2023, the high inflation period in Europe, in Belgium, and two or three other countries in Europe, the salary costs increased with almost 8% just by that indexation clause. Then the joiners, leavers, and temporaries, that's another thing. If your HRF FD count is not fully there, you have to make sure that you calculate with the full amount of people. The fact that people are sick, paid by the state because they're in long-term sickness, pregnancy, etc., doesn't discount them from your business case. You have to count their costs into their or into your business case. Having said that, we come to almost our next slide and last slide. There is also a demographic issue in Europe. That's Europe. I say Europe because I'm simply not aware or not as aware of it in APAC, where I don't think it's an issue, nor am I with the Americas. But in Europe, there is something playing that we call it boomer is retiring. And what you see here, I don't know, somebody said to me yesterday when they saw this image on my screen, oh, a Christmas tree. Well, I'm not sure if it's a Christmas tree, but in essence, what does it say? It's the population projection for Germany, or actually the worker population projection for Germany. What does it say? Basically, it says that in the next 5 to 7 years, more people are retiring. That's that big fat expansion on that graph. then there are people joining the labor market. That means that for, well, I'm going to exaggerate now, for every two people retiring during normal retirement, you simply have only 1.5, 1.6 people that can replace them. That is a problem everywhere in Europe, not only in Germany, but in most European countries, definitely the central and northern European countries. That is also something that plays in your business case. You simply won't be able to find the people, and your recruitment cost is going to increase, and probably also your training and learning cost is going to increase, because you're going to replace people that know systems with people that don't know these older systems and that need to be trained, right? So that is something to take into account, definitely that demographic issue. I think it's going, I'm not sure that everybody is aware of it, certainly not in in politics. And I don't have the impression that it's such a big deal at the ExCom level or at the board level, but it's going to hit us hard. And in some cases, we already see it with some specific technology-driven applications. Having said that, we come to the conclusion of that.
So, Michel, on that one real quick, it is something too in the US that is as a major concern. There's tons of, I would say, tons of job openings for payroll professionals that have the skill set, because people are retiring. And the second piece is they don't want to do manual work. So that's the feedback that's coming out from the recruitment and the looking strategically how you're going to get workers into the organization. They want to do exciting work where they have talent. They also know that they have retirement in there with what skill sets do they need. And the other thing is really the amount of time that they're putting in. So what you shared with Europe, it kind of falls in line with which a lot of things that are happening in the U.S. and across the U.S. that companies have to look at. And it's an important part of the business case, because it's, if you can't find somebody, what's that going to look like, or the cost of replacement? So we'll let you go on with conclusion.
Indeed, the cost of replacement will be higher going forward, which makes a case also again for outsourcing, not that is, let's say, the answer to everything. But in conclusion, I would say, please be mindful of all the hidden costs and define your staff and payroll workforce accurately. Scrutinize it once, twice, three times during your data collection process. It's very easy for me, which is good as a consultant, but when I walk into a new client, often it's very easy for me to add additional costs to their business case, to their Excel sheet. And I'm not talking about costs that are dreamt up or that are far-fetched or anything like that. It's very simple to find those extra costs. So don't neglect those hidden costs. Scrutinize your data collection process. And in Europe, definitely be mindful of those benefit in kind that sometimes simply don't flow through the payroll process, but that are outside of the payroll process. And the last item I would say, be realistic about the cost of doing nothing. If you look at major payroll vendors, for instance, they have systems that have gone out of style and that have sort of sunset, that are sort of speak no longer supported, yet they still support them for some clients because those clients asked for them, and those clients simply pay each year through the nose in terms of maintenance costs. Because if you can't find somebody to fix your car, the guy that can fix your car is going to charge a hefty premium for doing so. So be realistic of doing that. Be realistic of doing the cost of doing nothing. You will have to do something. If it's not now, it will be in 3 to 5 to 7 years' time. And the cost then will be much higher than it is today. In essence, that's it. That's my story. So question time with 8 minutes, 5 minutes to spare.
So Aoife, I guess we go into questions, but Michel, thank you for sharing. And I think one of the points too is if you're working a business case and you need support, reach out to reach out to somebody like Payroll Minds, because remember, they're doing this as their day job. We're not doing business cases as a day job, as we're making sure our employees are getting paid accurately and timely in the compliance piece. So this is a, as we talked about it, that one of the slides is really, it's a constraint, the time constraint of pulling this all together. And is it sometimes, I'll tell you, pulling in a third party consultant, they're able to present it and give you key pieces to share with senior management to make sure your business case gets approved and everybody understands the impact. So we'll go on to questions. Aoife.
Okay, so we have one in here. So the question is, well, it starts off with, in many cases, local countries have the authority to decide their payroll vendor. What I would like to know is, as part of your business case, how do you convince your local countries to be on board with your business case? Usually they're not interested if there's no burning platform. Why change if payroll is timely and accurate?
Yes.
I had gone back and just clarified that that person meant their local countries. So they said that they usually, their local countries decide the vendors.
I've seen it, well, 8 out of 10, your local vendor, they are happy to work with them. They can call them every time. And then simply they forget that at the end of the day or at the end of the year, they pay them much more. So that comes down to one of my points. They will tell you, but I'm only paying this to this vendor. Question there to be asked is, show me all your invoices to that vendor and then work out what the effective cost of running payroll in that country is. And the only, certainly in larger multinational countries, certainly the longer tail, not the big countries, but the smaller, longer tail countries have a tendency to ignore the business case of the larger population. They think we're fine, we're 100, 200, 300 people. And the only thing you can do there, and that works well, except for basically forcing them, but if you don't want to do that, is simply take on part of their costs in the general budget in a sort of overarching layer that is paid for by the central team, and therefore reducing the costs and then the burden of that smaller country that would have liked to have worked with their local payroll vendor. That's the best thing. That's the approach that works best. So first of all, make sure that they're stating, again, collecting the right data, that they're stating the right cost of running payroll in their country. You would be surprised. I'm in Europe. I live in Belgium. Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, they are specialists in charging you 10 euros per employee per month. And then every month charging you an additional 3 to 4 for every question you asked, every report you asked, et cetera, et cetera. And those are hidden costs. You don't see them. They come off at the end of the month, at the end of the quarter. And that's why I say collect the data, collect the invoices of those vendors, and effectively look at them with 2 eyes, preferably 4 eyes. And if you've done that and it still doesn't work, then make sure that you take a part of that salary cost in payroll outsourcing for one single vendor, for instance, into the central team and move that part of the cost for that country into the central team so that they don't feel like they're squeezed into a corner where they have to sort of pay more compared to what they were used to in the past.
So, Michelle, I'm gonna definitely agree. Look at those costs at the local provider and the services that you need for your organization. And that's one of the things with Payslip. We don't have any preference to which provider you're using. So if you're in an organization, let's say we're in Belgium or we're in Germany, and your payroll provider is somebody that's efficiently and servicing you, we have no preference that you work with that provider. We can put them on our platform, you get the visibility, but at the end of the day, just having the visibility, having the reporting and the information, the system, you can then look at the global across your organization of the 30 countries you have. It really then comes down to, I think every organization faces this challenge. You know, do we do one or do we have 10 vendors? It's really defining what's actually happening. I have, you know, as the question was kind of pertinent when I was doing consulting, it was kind of the business management team that picked the provider in a particular country. And in some cases it worked, but in other cases they forgot about some of the expat items when they were making that decision of who they were going to use, and that particular provider didn't quite meet the needs. So those are things just to kind of think about. It's a hard decision, because I think sometimes everybody just wants one size fits all, but it doesn't work that way. So kind of pulling it together. And yes, the true cost, it is amazing if you start to look at the invoices, if I called the provider to just clarify, right? I always hate when you clarify a question as a payroll professional, and then next month you get your invoice and you might have a 30-year or 50-year minimum charge because you asked something to clarify. And those, it has to be a two-way street as we're partnering together, because they're part of your team. So definitely have to look at that. So great question.
Great. Great questions, great points. We're just at the end now. So just before everyone goes, we just like to thank you. Thank you both, first of all, to the speakers. Really interesting insights. I know myself, I'm speaking to global payroll teams, that transformation in payroll is really important, and putting the business case together and articulating it is really difficult. So I think you both did a fantastic job today, helping people work out where to start and the methodology they can follow. Just before people go, Michelle will be available because I know there's actually quite a lot of questions in, to discuss on a one-to-one basis afterwards. So if anyone does want to speak with Michelle afterwards, I can just, if you just click yes on this here before you leave, we can arrange that. So if anyone does want to just link in there, that would be excellent, and I'll be able to follow up directly with you. So thank you very much, everyone, for attending. Thank you to our speakers. As I said, you will receive the full recording and all the slides afterwards. And any of those questions that came through at the end there that we didn't get to cover, we'll also answer offline by email as well. Great. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.